As we get started, we're going to be talking about connections over the course of the next few weeks. And so as a part of that, we're going to talk through ways, in the way of your microphone, talk through ways that we can be connected as the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about the importance of that. And so to start off with, I wanted to bring up these three fine folks who are a part of our staff. The three of them and Matt Feltz are kind of our full-time ministry leaders here within the church, and so I kind of rely on them a lot for a lot of the things that we do. And so we're just going to share just a little bit about ways that we can be connected to one another and things that we are excited about coming up this fall. And so I'm going to start with Brad. Brad is obviously our children's director. He's stepped into a full-time role in which he's got oversight over a lot of things, but part of that is all of our age-level ministries. And Brad, what are you excited about coming up this fall for our kids, youth, and everything else?
Well, we've got some exciting things going on. And first, let me start real quick by saying that our weekly preschool program is starting back in 2 weeks. And we're going to have some very cool ways for our congregation to connect with them on a weekly basis. So be on the lookout for that. Our new nursery program on Sunday mornings downstairs is going to have music coming back. Mr. Kenji, Miss Cindy, they're going to get together, and we're going to have some music come back there, and we're going to have a monthly newsletter. So let's make sure that all you families that have young preschool, nursery age kids get your emails in so we can get that to you. The Rock this year, we're going to continue and to build on our preteen program that we started last year, and hopefully we're going to have a little bit of more kid participation. The core youth program is also going to build on their high school weekly Bible study, and they're really working towards building participation where the high schoolers are actually teaching each other and worshiping with each other during those Bible schools. And then finally, we got some exciting news for our young adults. We're going to start this fall sometime. We don't have an exact date yet, but we're going to start a young adult Bible study during the week and try to get that off the ground and run it. So those are a few of the exciting things going on.
Awesome. All right. So Emily, you are our Director of Congregational Engagement, which everybody clearly understands what that means.
And
so, Emily, you are kind of responsible for missions and volunteerism and things like that. What are some ways that people can be involved and serve coming up this fall?
Absolutely. So we have some continuing ways to serve, but we also have some new ways to serve coming up this year as well. The lovely people that greet you when you come in the mornings, our greeters and our ushers, they are part of our hospitality team. And we typically serve once a month. It's no pressure. It's no striving. It's just showing up to serve. And if you ever want to be one of those smiling, friendly faces that comes and welcomes people, that is a great way to serve here at the church. Same with Matt Feltz in the tech booth back there. My husband's back there volunteering. He has volunteers that help him every week. That's a great way to serve as well. And then there's other service opportunities, whether you want to get your hands dirty or you would like to stay clean. I'm a little bit of both. It just depends on the weather and what's going on. But we are looking forward to maybe having some local mission opportunities. We've made some local mission partners over the past few years and looking to see how we can serve them. But one thing is Street Feed that we participate in every Monday, and then also some other projects as well. And then if you want to go big and you want to go get dirty, we're going to Costa Rica in 2026, and we're going back to Jamaica in 2026 as well. And then if serving in missions, if you're just not sure yet where to get started, we also have other ways to connect. We just launched a new ministry. Some of you have heard about it, some of you haven't. This is my first opportunity to get to say it with a microphone, but it is called Oasis. Are y'all ready for this? Older Adults Socializing in Service. Y'all like that? Oh yeah. We call it what it is too, because it is we're not going to put an age limit on it. Everyone is always welcome. But if you're retired and you have some extra time during the day, we like to get together about once a month. We've gone to the Bread Wagon. We've gone to Jonah's. We've had bingo. We've had Fancy Girl Farms outing. We've done a lot of things. But it's a time just to get together and fellowship. And it's a great way to be connected. Same with men's ministries, women's ministries. We have something for everyone. So we just want you to get connected and just feel loved here at First Methodist.
I was hoping you were going to give an age exact for that old Oasis group. I think we were all interested to hear what you defined as older adults, but we'll talk to you after the service.
Always welcome when you have time.
All right. So Kenji, as you all know, does a great job leading our music program. And I know there are ways that you can be involved in the music ministry. But I want to ask you specifically, Kenji, what are some ways that we as a church are providing care to our congregation?
Absolutely. This past week was quite a busy week. Had the privilege to share in about 4 home visits, and I'm excited that one of them, that they're in the house today, so that's always a good plus. That means God is still yet blessing. Amen? Amen. And sometimes, I'm sorry, you didn't ask me this, I almost feel a sermon coming on, but sometimes we pray for God to heal us, but, you know, when he gives us strength to make it one day at a time, that is letting us know that God still is blessing and moving by his Spirit. But nevertheless, it's just a beautiful thing that we are able to connect with you all in those times of illness or recovery. And if you know of anyone in our church family that is in need of a visit or in need of being checked upon, please let us know via the church office. That allows us a chance to be able to minister, because sometimes people don't let us know, but if they are willing and open, and if you are willing and open, we would love to be able to minister to you. And that's not just delegated to just Anthony and I, but we can be the church body and minister to one another. And also within nursing home programs, there's been times where folks have sent flowers for me to carry, and sent cookies, cakes. And if you are one of those people, we'll be glad to get you on board with that. So just please let us know. It's always a blessing and an honor that we are able to connect with you in all aspects of life, not just in the good times, but allow us to be the church with you even in those tough times.
That's great. And I was worried for a second we were going to have to get Dante back up here on the organ.
He just walked in.
We almost needed you, but you're good. Okay. But, you know, Kenji and I do kind of the majority of the pastoral care, but Emily and Brad are a part of that as well. And one of the things we're looking to do is expanding that to using some people from within the life of the church to help with that as well. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that you don't need a title of pastor at the church to be a pastoral caregiver to our congregation. And so that's one of the many ways that we can connect. Also, you know, we have discipleship opportunities that have been going on. I think Sunday school was started by Jesus at this church. I mean, it's incredible how long of a great history we have with Sunday school. We have lots of great classes that meet right after this one, or right after this. This is not the class. Meet right after this service. And Emily is your point person. If you want to be pointed in the right direction, if you need a place to connect, that's a wonderful way to do that. And then, of course, you know, Brad is your point person for getting your kids and your youth plugged into different places. And we just want to make sure that our congregation stays connected. And we're actually looking to do a few different things. Brad mentioned the young adult Bible study. We're looking at some different options for things we could do with Wednesday nights, and still trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do there. But we also have our fall kickoff next Sunday, and our second Sunday experience is going to be incredible this year. It's going to be a time of church-wide fellowship. We're going to have a program built into it where you're going to get to hear from different people that are a part of our congregation, really hear some different voices. It's not going to be another sermon from me or Kenji or Emily. It's going to be people from your group, I mean, from the congregation leading in that. And we're really excited to hear those testimonies to what God is doing, teachings, and it's going to be an awesome experience. And then Brad and I are still debating the right day for this, but we're going to do a walking group. So if you want to come up to the church in the morning, Kenji's leaving. If you want to come and go walking with Brad and I, we're looking forward to that.
We lost him,
yeah. But that's going to be awesome. It'll have a little bit of a discipleship component within it, but it's also going to be just a great time to fellowship with other people and to exercise a little bit. And then I did a book study over the course of this summer. I'm looking to do another one after Labor Day, and so stay tuned for information about that. That'll be something that meets during the week and just a great opportunity to connect with other people. I called it my ladies' book study because it was all ladies that showed up. But guys are welcome too. Anybody who wants to come and be a part of that, we're looking forward to doing that again later in the fall. So anything else to add? Yes. Okay.
He didn't ask me about music, so I tried to stay on topic. And some of you have already reached out to me in regards to the Christmas cantata, because if you're not able to commit to every Wednesday night that choir is required to do, so to speak, then you can participate in the Christmas cantata. It takes about 30 minutes of rehearsal time, and we would love to have you. And we have some instrumentalists in here. I won't pick on them. I'll be seeing them in a little bit. But we would love to have you. You are always welcome to participate. Just please let me know what it is that you are able to do, and we'll find somewhere to get you plugged in.
Awesome. All right, let's give it up for Brad, Kinchy, and Emily. All right. Well, we're gonna jump in quick to this morning's message. We've got a lot to cover in a short period of time, but I love this passage that we read. It talks about our relationship with God and the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. And I want to look at this passage kind of in a different way than I've looked at it before, because I think it articulates to us why we were created to be in relationship with God and in relationship with one another. And it kind of gives us a little bit of the connection between those. You know, connection and community are essential aspects of the human life. I've got a picture from a wedding that I was a part of in England. I love to say that this picture is how I imagine all of my jokes landing. Everybody is at the table is laughing. My wife is adoringly has a huge laugh. And yes, there is one person on the far left who just doesn't get it. There's always one who doesn't get it. But I like to imagine this picture as being a snapshot of how all my jokes should land. And it doesn't always happen that way. But this was a great moment captured, and it was a great experience. The guy there in the middle, the one that is sitting in the seat by the one that I'm standing behind, that is my friend Alex Capood. And Alex and I went to the University of Georgia together. We have been friends for over 20 years. And Alex got married in England, so I went and I was kind of the stand-in best man because his brother wasn't able to make it. And so I got to give this wonderful speech. But it was such an amazing opportunity to connect with someone who has made such a difference in my life and been such a key part of my life over the years. We've been in each other's weddings. We've traveled back and forth across the ocean to visit with each other. And we make a point to stay in touch. Now, staying in touch with him was a lot easier when we were both not married and we both lived in the same town and we would get together every Thursday night and hang out. It's a lot harder when there is an ocean separating us, but we still make a point to stay connected. Alex is a cultural anthropologist. He has a PhD from Edinburgh in cultural anthropology, and recently he was interviewed by The Independent about the shifts that we have seen in culture and the shifts that we have seen in community. And what he articulated in that article, I'll have to post it for those that might be interested in it. What he articulated was that the way that we were designed, like the way that we were kind of nurtured and developed as people, was in the context of community. If you go back thousands of years, people were hunter-gatherers, and the community would roughly be about 30 to 40 people. More or less, it would be a few big families together, all as one community. They relied on each other. They shared everything together. They were a community, and that was what their entire life was built around, was that idea of community. As society has developed, there have been shifts in that, and as the world has gotten more connected, unfortunately, what we've seen is people in their actual communities have become less connected. You are not as connected to the people that you are immediately around as you might be someone on the other side of the world. I talk to people in Africa multiple times a week. There are people in my own town that I rarely talk to. And that's a weird shift that has happened in society. And what my friend Alex was articulating is that we need to find somewhere within our schedules, within our busy lives, a place to connect with people that we are around, to find that sense of community, to make it an intentional part of our lives. And if we do, it makes a significant difference in how we experience life. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of community and why community is so important. The reason we talk about our Sunday school classes, the reason we talk about the opportunities and the programs that we do here up at the church is so many of those are built on community and connection in a way that you just can't experience coming to a worship service. I mean, it's great to come to a worship service. Next week, we'll talk about why worship is a key part of our connection and a part of our community. But really, the heartbeat of our church is the relationships. It's the relationships that we get to have with one another. And so that's what we want to build on. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how we are connected through God's grace, what that looks like for us, and what it calls us to do in our lives as we think about the ways that we are engaged with God and one another. And so the passage that we read, I'm just going to kind of go through this as we look at this passage and see what it tells us about God's grace and about our relationship to one another. And this is our key question. This is the key question that we are asking as we look at this. Why does connection to God and others matter? Why does it matter? I believe that this passage articulates really clearly why our connection to God matters, but it also has kind of built within it a communal call as well. So let's look at it. So it begins, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." So it begins basically by saying, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And this is what we see right off the bat about our connection to one another, because this is addressed to everybody. The plural there, the "you" is plural. We don't always have a great way to do that in English. Some people do "yous." We don't do "yous." In the South, we figured it out, "y'all," but the biblical translations haven't caught on to "y'all" yet. And so just imagine what Paul is saying here as he writes to the church in Ephesus is, "Y'all were all messed up. All of y'all were messed up." And then essentially what he is saying is this is something that connects all of us. This is something that is common to all of us. We are connected by our sin. We are connected through sin. Now, that might not be something that you wanted to hear first thing this morning, might not be something that you were hoping to hear in the sermon, but it's a reality. All of us, by our nature, we are sinful people. We think of this as all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. It is a common part of the human experience. And the way that Paul is describing it here, it's almost as though he is describing people. It's like reading an obituary for people who are already dead, but it's actually talking about us who are in fact alive. He is saying, this is what your nature was like, and it's like reading an obituary. I love looking at obituaries. I know that's a very weird thing to say, but in my line of work, I do it pretty frequently. Every time I have the chance to work with a family on a service, celebrating the life of someone that they have lost, I read through the obituary, try to get a sense of the person who we were remembering and try to capture that. And what I've noticed is some of, I mean, they're usually, there's like kind of a standard format that you follow, but every once in a while, you'll come across one that has just kind of a zinger line in it. So these are a few of my favorites that I've come across over the years. Of course, the classic one is, you know, you could say something along the lines of, "They have requested that the Atlanta Falcons be their pallbearers so they can be let down by them one more time." That's a classic little cheesy one. This is one I really appreciated. Kenji will like this. So, "Her service will be held at the First Church of God, which she attended for 60 years, despite her disdain for the music and projection screens." This one was from the year 2016, that you'll recognize the context. "Faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Marianne chose to pass into the eternal love of God." This is one obviously written by the person, kind of a self-obituary autobiography. "I hate to admit it, but I died." That's a great way to start that one. This is really good. I just came across this one recently. "She loved her family more than anything else in the world, except for cold Budweiser, room temperature Budweiser, mopeds, the OJ chase, and the OJ trial." Wow. And then there's this one. "This is probably the harshest one I have ever heard in my life. She had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. Her presence will not be missed by many. Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting over her passing. There will be no service, no prayers, and no closure for the family she spent a lifetime tearing apart. Whew! That's terrible. And yet, as we read this passage, Paul wants to make it abundantly clear that our nature was deserving of death. Our nature and our sin was, in essence, as though we were already dead, as though the obituary had already been written. And so we are all connected through that. When we come together as a church, we do things like confession before we celebrate communion. We sing songs that talk about God's grace because we know we all need it. All of us are connected through our sin. And this is not a church of perfect people. This is a church of broken people who come together to be made whole through the love and the grace of God. And that's what we celebrate when we come together as a church and as we are connected to one another. So here is the way that Paul describes it. In some translations, it has that famous "but God" there at the beginning of verse 4. But in the NIV, it says it this way. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." In other words, despite the fact that the obituary had already been written, God, through his love, through his mercy, has chosen to give you life through Jesus. And who is this for? This is for all of you. This is for all of us. This is something that we all can be connected through. And then verses 8 through 10 articulate probably the best little snapshot of what God's grace looks like and the difference it makes in our lives. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." In other words, what Paul is saying here is you didn't do anything to earn this. It is a free gift of God. The grace is a free gift of God, and it is given to you so that you can be set free, so that you can be in relationship with one another, so that you can live a life that is free and forgiven of sins. You didn't do anything to earn it. But here's the key part. Verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, even though there's nothing we can do to earn God's grace, we have been saved by God's grace in order to go and do good works. It's not the good works that earn us God's grace. It is the good works that overflow in our lives because of God's grace and presence within our lives. And all of this, the good works we were created to do, all the things that we were made alive together in Christ to do, it is a way for us to be connected through transformation, or connected for transformation. We are connected for transformation. When we are called together as the people of God, when we are forgiven by God through Jesus, when we experience that grace in our lives, it is for the purpose that we, as the body of Christ, would go and make a difference in the world. There are good works that have been prepared for God's people to do, and we engage in those good works that have been created beforehand for us to engage in so that we can make a difference in the world. And that's part of the ways that we can be connected for transformation. So when Emily talks about the opportunities to serve within the life of the church, whether that's serving the people of this church through a volunteer opportunity, or it's serving in our community, it's serving in Jamaica, serving in Costa Rica, wherever it is, we are connected for that purpose to go and transform the world. We have experienced God's grace, and because of God's grace in our lives, we should be sent out into the world to make a difference in the world and to transform the world. This is what God's grace is all about. It's not just about us getting a ticket to heaven. It is about us showing others what heaven is all about. And so when we are connected with one another, when we engage in those things together, when we come together as the church and we live into our purpose of who God created us to be, we can transform the world. And all of this is an opportunity for something that we could do together. Now, Paul writes this, and usually when I preach on this passage, I cut off at verse 10. It's like, all right, there's so much good stuff we can cover in just 10 verses, no reason to read any further. But as I was getting ready for the sermon series, I realized something that I've never really paid attention to before. If you keep reading, Paul immediately starts talking about reconciliation between the Gentiles, those who are not of a Jewish background, and the people of Israel, the Jewish people. Excuse me. And so what we see is that out of the overflow of this conversation about God's grace and the difference it makes in our lives and how it connects us together to go and do these good works and to make a difference in the world, out of the overflow of that, Paul immediately starts talking about how we are called to live together in reconciled harmony. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16, which kind of spell this out. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So what he's saying is, you were once alienated, you have been reconciled through Jesus, okay? Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility." In other words, what Paul envisions is out of the overflow of our experience of God's grace and our being drawn together in community with one another, divisions that exist within our society, divisions that exist in our churches, divisions that exist within our communities, they should be put to death. He uses kind of this big picture thing of the Jew and Gentile divide to say through Jesus they have been brought together. But we can look at this and see that this is something that we all are called to live into. And we see within this that we are connected. We are connected across diversity. The blood of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus bridges that divide. Through Jesus, we can be one with one another despite differences, despite diversity. And the beauty of God's family, the beauty of the church, is that we all can be drawn in together across those diverse lines. And I would love for our church to just be a place where there aren't walls, there aren't divisions, where people of all backgrounds, all different looks, could come and be a part of the kingdom of God. Because it's not about having a social group where everybody is aligned and looks the same and acts the same. It is about being a part of the kingdom of God where the common denominator is the grace of Jesus being present in each and every life. I've got a birthday coming up on Friday. Didn't really want to draw attention to that, but here we are. So I've got a birthday coming up, and I used to not really pay attention to the number of my birthday until there was a 4 involved, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're ticking upwards. And so I turned 40 a couple of years ago. This year I'm going to turn 42, and I'm calling it my Jackie Robinson year. I'm ready for a change. I'm going to call this year my Jackie Robinson year. Jackie Robinson wore number 42. He was famous and well-known for his bravery, for being the one who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. He was the first African-American player to play in the major leagues, and he was ridiculed for it. He had death threats. I mean, he did not have an easy life, but he ended up being a tremendous baseball player and made a huge difference in society. And I'm calling it my Jackie Robinson year because I want this year to be a year of just kind of breaking through some barriers. It's like, all right, I've got some personal things I want to break through on. I've got some health goals I want to break through on. And then I'm also thinking about from the perspective of like our church. I'm like, okay, what are the barriers that we need to break through as a church? And I'm looking at that. I was like, can this be the year that we break through on those? And as I look at that and I read this passage, I think, gosh, there are probably some societal barriers that we still need to break through, that we still need to, you know, just push through. And I don't know the secret to that. I don't know how we do that. I don't know that there are necessarily programmatic things that we can do. But what I do know is that when our heart starts to change, when we are intentional about being people who break through the barriers of society, when we are intentional about letting the common denominator in our community of faith, the common denominator in our lives being the love and the grace of Jesus that transforms us, and we have, through that grace and love, been sent to transform the world, that if we can live into that, barriers can start to break down. And so as we go through this series, as we celebrate communion this morning, as we meet in Sunday school classes, as we serve within our community, as we connect to one another, let's do it with our minds set on breaking past any barriers that might be there and instead just pursuing all that God has in store for us, all that God wants to do through us and for us and with us. And let's just be people who are sold out to be connected around the idea that all of us have been forgiven by God's grace. Everyone in the world, regardless of their background, regardless of who they are, where they've been, they are in need of God's grace as well. And we are all connected as the people of God across that. Here's what I believe, and this is where we'll wrap up. I believe that we are connected and we were created for relationship. And we have been redeemed to be in relationship with God and one another. Our redemption is all about us being redeemed and connected to God and connected to one another. And if we live out of the overflow of that, of being changed by God's grace, that's what's going to make the difference in our lives. That's going to be what makes the difference in our community, in our relationships, in our small groups, in our volunteer opportunities, and all the different ways that we can be connected. It is an overflow of God's grace in our lives.